Now just lift your hands right where you are and set in your mind that you're one with the Father. We're not anywhere else. We're not looking for Him. We're not searching for Him. We're not trying to prove how good we are to God. We're one with God this morning. Let the music play. Don't turn it down. Just lift your hands. Tell Him, thank you for making us one. Thank you, Father. Thank you for breathing into us. Thank you for giving us your Spirit on the inside. Thank you for naming us after you. We just bless you right now. We thank you. 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 We change our minds. We change our minds. We're not worshiping you from afar off, but you're right here within us. Now, just lift one hand and then put one hand on your chest for a minute. I'm changing this consciousness of where God is. Yes, He is above us, and yes, He is around us, but He is also within us. And within us is the place that we forgot. So as I worship you with my hand, I also worship you with my other hand. Father, we just bless you right now. We thank you. We love you from the inside right now. No outer love, all inner love this morning. He's right here on the inside. We are one, we are one, we are one. Thank you for making us one. One with the Father, one with the Son, one with the Holy Ghost. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We are one, we are one, we are one, we are one. Come on, let that sink into your mind, into your mentality, into your understanding. Come on, let it change you. Let it change you. Greatest worship song you can sing. It's what God is expecting.
One, we are one. We are one.
Father, we thank you for allowing us to be one with you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you right now in the name of Jesus. Just for a minute, right? No music right there. Sit right there for a minute. Let's not rush past this moment. Sense that in your heart. Sense that in your soul. That we're not separated from the Father. We're not about to hear about the Father this morning, separate from who we are. When we refer to God this morning, we're going to be referring to us in the midst of who He is. So we change our minds. We change our minds from being distant soldiers or servants or sinners, but we're one with you from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making us one with you. Thank you for thinking enough of me to allow me to be one with you. Well, think about it for a moment. Let's not rush past this moment. It's a special moment. Ain't nothing next. That's it. One. Ain't nothing next. It's the moment. This is the moment we've been waiting for. Thank you. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're gonna get into it a little bit. I think you can if you want to use a title, you can call this One Ship Faith. And we've been punching in the dark. We've been fighting battles from a weak position. And we hadn't really known who we really are. We've been trying to have faith about stuff. We've been trying to put faith on things. We're trying to pray about stuff, trying to pray on things, put prayers on things. But today we're going to pray from a different core. Say when you're boxing, when you're fighting, you could swing at somebody and maybe you'll land a lick, but you might not knock them out, depending on where you're swinging from. They'd always tell you punch from your core. From the inside, there's a powerful place, a position where you hit from that gives all of this, even though this may be smaller, and this, it gives all of this a certain power when it connects. But if you don't punch from your core, sometimes you can break your wrist or break your fist or break your hand or something like that, because you're not using all the power that you can use to connect. I mean, I used to have a punching bag at my house, and if you don't punch from the core, don't do it properly, I hurt my wrist for many days doing it the wrong way. Right? I looked like I was doing it the right way, but the connect was different. Wasn't landing like it should have. Wasn't giving the impact that it should have. And many times, that's how our faith is. If you agree with me, say amen. Many times, that's how our prayers are. We're praying in the dark and hoping that something happens. Scripture says, hope make it not ashamed, right? Right? But our hope is just shame sometimes. Because we got hope in something that we keep hoping on for the rest of our lives. And sometimes we're praying in the dark. Our faith turns into wishes. I don't see that in God. I don't see God not getting what he says. He said, my word shall go forth and not return to me, but it will accomplish what I sent it to do. Yes, right? Now, I want you to catch me real quick, because when he's talking about he sent his word and it'll accomplish what he sent it to do, he's not just talking about an audible thing that he said out of his mouth, but he's talking about you. You are his word. Say, I am his word.
I am his word.
All right, even if you don't understand, just agree with me by faith. I remember Jesus said, if you don't believe me for the work's sake. All right, so even if you don't get it, I'll just say it with me. Say, I am the word of God.
I am the word of God.
Prove it to you. God said, let us make man. That sounds like a word right there to me. And then he made him out of dust and breathed himself into him. And man became a living. But there's a place that we haven't been living from. It's actually a benefit that we've always had since we've been here. Let me tell you this, and I've told you this before, and I'll say it again. You were sent here for a reason. I'm not talking about word life. I'm talking about earth. The day that you were born, the day that you were sent here, is the day God had a plan. He had a plan even before then. And your plan doesn't change. The scripture says the gift of God is without repentance. Repent means to change your mind. That means God hasn't changed his mind about why he sent you here. Sometimes things in life comes up. We have situations when we're younger. We make some mistakes. Anybody made a mistake in the house? Amen. Come on. Don't lie to me right now because I'm going to pray for you. Anybody ever made a mistake? Sometimes we make mistakes. We make missed calls, misjudgment, missteps, and then we forget who we are. And we allow the enemy to torment us and keep us in guilt and shame and worry and fear and concern. And we no longer can function from our oneness with our Father. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I'll say it again. There's therefore now, when? No condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation. So we're not talking about how good you are this morning. Thank God we're not talking about how good I am this morning. Thank God we're not talking about just my ability. I done all I can do. How many prayers do we got to pray? How long do I have to call Jesus' name before he answers? How many times do I have to say, Jesus, 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 Jesus? How many times do I got to say it? We'll change where we're living from. We'll change where we're praying from. We've been praying to God. We should be praying from him. I'm going to say that again. We have been praying. We really ain't been praying. We really been begging. Y'all don't want to say nothing to say to me this morning. All right, cool. Y'all know how I roll. Okay. Y'all know we've been begging. And please, 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 please. And been pleading. With little results. Not as much as we should have. Can we agree with that? Because of where we've been living from. Let me read this real quick. And you're going to see this one thing resounding the whole time while we're reading. You're going to see the word one a lot. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4, I want y'all to read it. Ready, read.
There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the Lord.
Verse 5.
One Lord, one faith, one
Verse 6. I want to read again. There's one body, there's one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above how many?
All.
And in how many?
All.
In you all, right?
Yes.
Through all and in you all. And then verse 7 says, but unto every
one
of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So right, hold on. So now we are graced in that oneship according to how we're measuring Christ in us. Are y'all seeing that? We've been reading that scripture for years, haven't we? But according means it's measured up to the measure. And he says the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, Christ is the gift. How many of y'all born again in the house? Make some noise. So hold on. So Christ is the gift. Christ is the gift. We're not talking Christ, the life of God. Christ is the life of God. This is the gift. But unto every one of us is giving the grace to walk in that according to the measure of the gift. Now determine how the measure of the gift works in you determines in how your faith is set up for that gift. If nobody ever told me I was one with God, why would I ever believe it? If nobody ever told me that me and my Father are one, then of course I would walk around like I'm worried. Or of course I can accept a sickness. Or of course I can accept losing because I'm separate from a God and I'm trying to plead him to come and do something for me when I should be speaking him out of my mouth. One body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. Are you a part of all?
Yes.
I can't hear y'all. Are you a part of all?
Yes.
If you are a part of all, then that means he's above you,
yeah,
and he's through you,
yeah,
and he's in you.
Yes.
Come on, say he's above me,
above,
he's through me,
he's,
and he's in me. I'll say it again. He's above me,
above,
he's through me, and he's in me. Let's stop putting God somewhere else. God doing a work over there. Yeah, right here too. The move of God going on over there. Yeah, right here too. If there's going to be a move of the Spirit, it's going to be right here. In that garden, in that garden, in that garden, that garden represents what we can do on a daily basis. The serpent deceived man from believing who he really was already. Man had no reason to believe that he needed something else to be like God. You go read the story, I ain't got time. There was no reason for him to believe that he needed something else. But he got deceived by the serpent. I call the serpent the system. Well, do it like this, because you know God might be a little upset with you. He might not want you to have that. Do it like this. And we become deceived from who we really are. Well, if I could take your identity away and take who you really are, then I'll take everything you got.
Yep.
True or not true?
Yep.
Any of y'all have ever had, I had to deal with this one year. I was filing my taxes one year and they told me my taxes had already been filed. I said, no, they haven't. I said, oh, hold on, where's this refund? Y'all know what's up. I said, hold on, what you mean? What you mean somebody filed it already? Right? They call it identity theft. Anybody might have dealt with that before, right? Yeah, I went and got mine back.
Amen.
Yeah, right quick, right fast, right? But if you can take my identity, that's why you don't give everybody your social security number, huh? Or you be protecting that, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? You believe, hold on. We believe in that social security number that government gave us. Hold on, you believe in it like religion. Y'all know I ain't playing. You believe in that number. You get that number every time you're trying to get a loan, every time you're trying to get something, you believe in that number. Sometimes you don't even put it on your license so nobody can steal that number from you.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Oh, the number that government gave you. Social Security. And you identify with it. You identify with your license. You identify with all these different things. And the reason that you do protect that so much is because you have things that are connected to this number. Right?
Yes,
ain't nobody take your stuff. I was talking about this Tuesday night about somebody coming in your house and taking over your house. We ain't having that.
No.
Taking your stuff, right? Right? That's my ID. Yo, come on, what about your bank account number real quick? Your PIN number. Y'all know you'll be at the little thing hiding, trying to hide your PIN. And somebody standing behind you be like, why? Why? What? Why? You trying to protect it? Trying to protect what you have. The Garden of Eden story, the Bible, you have to realize the Bible is also a story about you, so you can find yourself in there. Understand something. Stop blaming Adam and Eve for what they did. What are you doing right now? And a lot of times it's a story of decisions that we're making on a daily basis. We were one with the Father. We've always been one with the Father. He's never changed his mind. But we got fooled out of ourselves. Like, could I really trick you about who you really are? Could I really get you to believe something else? We got fooled out of who we really are, so we lost the benefits. And from that moment, even if you look at the name of the trees, there's a tree of life, it's singular, one thing. There's nothing you got to figure out. What it is, a tree of life, right? But then as soon as you eat off this other tree, it's knowledge. It's got more complicated, more words, knowledge of good and evil. And now they immediately put you in a separated mindset. So now you're doing like the good and evil, 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 good and evil. You never make life. And this is where separation began. So I don't got time to give a whole history lesson, but from then until Jesus, we are trying to make amends for our separation. Sacrifices. We rituals, law. There's only 10 commandments Moses gave, but then we ended up with 200 something. And you couldn't keep none of them. And the commandments were not empowering, they were only maintaining you. Thou shalt not kill. Okay, if I'm not supposed to kill, what am I supposed to do? You ever thought about that? There was never any instruction on what to do. It was just trying to keep you from doing that. Not the empowerment to move forward and create. So all them years, all your favorites were trying to prove themselves. You pick one. He told Abraham, wherever you set your foot at, that's the land I gave you. He's trying to show him oneness. He's trying to show him that the land that I'm trying to show you is you, not that land on the ground. Wherever you step, that's what you got. Wherever you put your feet. Why? Because we are one and the earth is the Lord's. So if the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, then the earth is mine. Do you really have to ask for what's yours? No. I walk in my house and say, can I get some water out of the refrigerator? It's mine. Come on, say it's mine.
It's mine.
You're asking for a lot of stuff and praying for a lot of stuff that's already yours. You just don't know it. Well, if I put $1 billion in the bank for you and never told you it was in there, how could you benefit? It could be in there all day long. But if I don't know, if it is not revealed to me, then I cannot benefit from what's already mine. Whether it's in there or not is not changed by how I feel. It's already in there. But what I need it to be is revealed to me where it is, whose it is, where it is, and how I get it. I'm going to say this and I'm going to say this clear. The Spirit of God has never left you. It has never been anywhere else. God, I said this real quick a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again. God breathed in a man, and I never heard him say he inhaled. He never took it back. The only thing that changed about God and our relationship is our consciousness. Well, I didn't mess up a bunch of stuff. Yeah, you messed up because you didn't know who you were. Well, I done fell off in sin. Yeah, because you didn't know who you were walking upright. We try to fix habits and things by rituals and principles when in actuality, if I change your identity, then you begin to do who you are. Did y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Y'all, it sounds like funny English, but you begin to do who you are. I am a, and then fill in whatever else you want to put after the I am. You go to rehab and they tell you I am, you keep saying I am an alcoholic. Well, God, no. I mean, every time I got to say it, every time, my name is such and such and I am, I got to say it every time, but faith comes by.
Yeah.
I know they think they smart. Don't work. Ever since the beginning up until Jesus now, ever since then, now we're trying to prove that we're somebody. Y'all know y'all been praying, trying to prove that you're good enough. We don't want to admit it all the time. We know we be praising real hard to let him know we love him. You know he know your heart though, right?
Yes.
You know, he know if you're keeping it real or not. He knew it before you said anything. Luke chapter 10. I'm gonna try to speed through a couple of scriptures real quick. This is Luke chapter 10. And y'all know these stories sometimes, but we gotta catch the stuff that Jesus is saying when he's saying it. It's very easy to read by ritual. And you memorize the scripture, but you don't really slow down. Everybody say slow down. And you know, I like you to slow down in these red words for me. Let's wade in these red word waters for a minute. And let's slow down and let them. This message is I heard it yesterday. It's like a seed message right now. This is one of those things going to hit you. You might not shout a lot right now. And I don't have ego to need you to. Amen. But it's one of them things gonna hit you in your car. You're gonna scream, like, what? One with God, I'm one with God, I'm one with God, what? I'm one with God. And next time that thing comes up that's trying to make you feel like something is wrong with you, all you're gonna hear is, I'm one with God. Yeah. Come on, close your eyes and say, I'm one with God. Come on, say it again, say, I'm one with God. Come on, say it again, I am one with God. Verse 41, and we y'all know the story. Mary and Martha, they come to Mary and Martha's house. Jesus come over to eat. They all trying to get the stuff together. Y'all know how y'all do when people coming over. You're trying to get the food together, clean up. You put stuff in the closet that don't belong in the closet, but you just sweep stuff under. Y'all know how it go. All right, so that's what Mary and Martha doing right now. Get the context of the story. They're trying to hurry up because the Almighty Jesus Christ is coming to my house. Lord, if Jesus Christ is coming to your house, how much cleaning up are we going to do today? Already know what time it is in my house, all right? So they doing that already, and everybody working. Martha mad because Mary ain't helping her. Y'all know how siblings are. Mama, make them come help me. Mama, why they ain't come help me pick it up? Y'all know how it is. So now she complaining to Jesus like that. Make her come help me in the kitchen. Make her come help me out. Mary's sitting on the floor and there with Jesus at, sitting at Jesus' feet. And I would expect Jesus to rebuke Mary and say, see, this is wrong with you. You're not a good servant. You ain't serving the Lord. Mary, you ain't doing all the stuff you're supposed to do. Can I slow down there for a minute? Mary, you ain't doing all the right stuff, Mary. Now you know what you're supposed to do when somebody coming over. You know your chores. I was waiting on Jesus to get on her. Because I knew how my mom used to get on me when I wasn't helping at the house. For about 7 years of my life, I was the baby. So if you ever been a baby in a family of siblings, you know you can get away with murder. So I used to use mine till Darnell came, got dug, and then I ain't had that power no more. And then I started feeling the wrath of not doing my part. So I'm waiting for Jesus. I'm waiting for the belt and everything. Come on. Mary. I told you, Mary, get up and help Martha in the. Don't you act like y'all ain't no. All right, amen. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're careful and troubled about many things. You are careful. You're full of care. To the point where you're troubled about many things. That's how I feel sometimes. I used to feel like that. I'm just be honest, y'all. Can we be honest here this morning? I say amen if we can be honest. I used to feel careful and troubled. I got to make sure my worship posture was right. I make sure I prayed in the right kind of tongues, and I wanted the interpretation of the tongues. Then I had to have the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And then I had to know what faith was and grace was and hope was. And I got to make sure that my grace is working over here and that my faith is working over here. And then I got to have joy. I'm by myself. Let's be honest here. Am I by myself? No. Y'all know it's been a juggling act. We've been juggling the principles of God. As soon as we get these right over here, we ought to go fix that part. That's because we've been all over the place. We careful and troubled about many things. And the reason that we are careful and troubled about many things and trying to keep up with all that is because we're not doing those things from the right place. You mean to tell me I've been worshiping from the wrong place? Yeah. You mean to tell me I've been believing and praying from the wrong core? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've been doing it from the outside. I said it, and I'll say it again. The fruits of the Spirit. Fruits come from the tree. They're not put on the tree. You never seen nobody stapling apples on an apple tree. You never told a tree to develop. Hey, tree, you better pray a little bit more for that fruit to come from you. Are you not better than the trees? Are we going to go there in a minute? Matthew 6, he said, look at the flowers. Look at the birds. They don't even do all the stuff. They ain't got the mind you got. They don't do all the stuff. They don't have me breathing in them in a living soul. And yet I take care of them. Are you not much more than them? You mean to tell me that a tree is more efficient than you? But we smart. We can think now. We got thoughts now. And so the enemy has taken our thoughts field and made us think other things other than who we really are. And now we have more faith in reaching for God and realizing he's on the inside of me. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Martha wasn't sinning. It wasn't that Martha was out in the streets while Jesus at the house. So Martha outside smoking a cigarette, cussing, whatever y'all think is the bad stuff. We ain't gonna go over there. No, Martha was in there doing what seemed to be the right thing. There's a way that seems right unto man. It's a scripture. But the end thereof is, that means that what the tree of life, death. The tree of life, death. The end thereof is death. At the end of that root is death. There's no production. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Verse 42. Yeah, I don't pause because I ain't got nothing to say. I want you to look at that and read it for a second. How many things is needful?
One.
But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. Notice where you see that one, you see one in good in there. You see that one in that good? Yeah, one in that good. We got a couple more one in good scriptures we're going to go to. One thing is needful. It's Jesus talking. Is he your Savior?
Yes.
Do you believe what Jesus says?
Yes.
Now, answer me right now. Do you believe what Jesus says?
Yes.
Is what Jesus says law in your life?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if Jesus said it, that's what it is. Come on, say,
if Jesus said it,
then that's what it is. Say it one more time. If Jesus said it, then that's what it is. One more time. If Jesus said it, then that's what it is. But one thing is needful, and it's read in my Bible. That means Jesus said it. So if he said it, then that's what it is. One thing is needful. Say it. What are all these things that we think that we need? What are all these positions and titles and accolades and things that we think we need when only and Mary has chosen that good part. Read that last line. That's a strong statement. No, listen. When Jesus tells you something, they're going to be taken away from you. That's law. If Jesus said it, that's what it is. Come on, say it again. If Jesus said it, then that's what he said. They ain't going to be taken away from them. That means it doesn't matter what comes or who feels like whatever, the one can't be taken from her. That one thing she got can't be taken. And it's the only thing she needed. There's a scripture Paul started talking about. Everything in the Bible points towards Jesus, but sometimes we get caught up in what they're saying. Paul, and he's trying to tell him. He said, y'all keep asking me these questions. I'm trying to tell you that I may know him. Y'all keep asking me all these questions about, well, how are we supposed to do church? How are we supposed to be married? How are we supposed to live our lives? What we do with our children? He said, listen, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This is his answer. But he got to come up with another answer around here because you keep asking the questions. And you ain't hearing what he's saying. How many things needful?
One.
Paul says in another scripture, I ain't got time to go to all these places, but he says, I'm concerned. He's talking, he's writing letters. Whenever you read from the book of Acts, after the book of Acts, from Romans on, all those are letters. That's not a sermon. Nobody's standing there preaching like right now. These are letters that are written to the church in Rome. Are y'all understanding me? And Paul says, I heard about y'all and I'm concerned. That you've been beguiled and deceived. The serpent is deceiving you again. From this is how he says it. He says, from the simplicity that is in Christ. You mean to tell me the life of, no, can't be. Can't be. The life of Christ is simple, can't be. Can't be. Too many things we got to do. He said, the serpent is deceiving you. From the simplicity that is in Christ. One thing is needful. What's that thing, Jesus? What's that thing we need? What's that one thing, Lord? We get the, and if it, I heard hundreds of messages preached. And the one thing was faith. And the one thing was love. And the one thing was peace. And my praise is a weapon. And I done heard all of them. And they all right if they come from the right place. Mark chapter 10. Before I read this, this is the constant conversation God is trying to have with you. Sometimes we prayed and we didn't get the answer that we wanted, right? Because you didn't realize what he was trying to tell you. If you knew who you were, you'd speak to it and not pray for it. I'd rather you know who you are than give you everything that you asked for.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
God says, I want you to know who you are more than what I want to give you all the stuff that you're asking for. Some of the stuff you're asking for, you don't need it. I'm not talking about don't need it like, it's too much. No, ain't no such thing as too much. Right? But has there been anything that you prayed for that you're glad God didn't give you? Y'all playing with me up in here this morning. Has there been anything that you prayed for? And then later on, you're like, whew. I dodged the bullet like the Matrix. Because Lord, if you would have gave me that, I'd be in jail right now. I can think of a few stories. If God would have gave me, y'all can play like y'all want. Y'all can act all, I ain't never prayed for nothing. No, listen. There's some things that I pray. I ain't talking about nothing wrong. I'm talking about it was permissible. The Bible says it is everything. A lot of things is permissible, but not everything is profitable. Got some stuff I prayed for. that I'm glad I didn't speak it into existence. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This was Jesus' whole conversation. The time Jesus started preaching until the time Jesus left you, he was trying to tell you the same thing. That's all he was saying the whole time. His whole point for his whole life and even the turmoil that he went through was for you to know that you were one. How far does a man have to go to prove to you who you are? Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. How far does the man Jesus have, how far will he, is he willing to go to show you that you one with God? Well, we see how far he went. He went all the way to the end. No greater love than this than a man to lay down his life. Just so you can know that you won. Well, if Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God, right? Faith of the Son of God. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if it come by just works, then Christ has died in vain. Has Christ died in vain? Now you're going to scream to me, no, but lifestyle. If the point of Jesus dying on the cross, right, and rising again in the bloodshed, and we can go through the story, right? We can go in and start crying and snotting, right? Y'all know, right? But if the point of this is, we call it reconciliation, or atonement, or redemption, right? If this is the point, where am I being atoned to? Where am I being redeemed to? What am I reconciling inside of me? If we're still acting like the people before Jesus, then what's the point? We still don't know that we one with God? We still on a journey just to get to heaven? What if Christ is dead in vain? Everything he said, everything he proclaimed to us, everything that he was teaching us, everything he went all the way there for, he didn't die on the cross for you to pray and not get your prayers answered. Right. Come on, let's think about it for a minute. I can't say the long is kind. I can't say. Let's think about it for a minute. He died on the cross for us. Shed his blood. He bled out. He bled out and choked on his blood. Can we get raw with it for a minute? He died a horrible death. On purpose. No, he did it on purpose. He said, y'all don't take me, I give my life. They didn't murder Jesus. What would cause an individual to do such a thing? And if I did do such a thing, what would I be expecting the results to be from that thing that I did? Come on, you get on the cross for a second. Your turn. Now, whether you know or not, you got a cross. You got. But anyway, that cross that Jesus on, you get on there. Let God tell you, this is a cross you got to bear. You got to do this for a bunch of people that may or may not listen to you. But come on, I get on the cross. Let me tell y'all something. If I get on the cross, God tell me, son, you got to get on the cross for everybody. Lord, if you can't let this cup pass, let all the cups pass. I don't even see the cup. Where's the cup? If I go through with it, he explained to me what's gonna happen because Jesus knew what was gonna happen and how it was gonna happen. He knew what he was doing it for. I knew to do the will of the Lord. If I do that, and he says it's a price to pay, then I expect some redeeming of that price that I paid. So for Montreal And I don't know, I'm still working on my oneness with the Lord. But if I come back, I'm not letting y'all feel no holes in my hands. I'm sticking your hand in my, remember Dalton Thomas? Hey, you don't believe me? Look at the holes in my hand. No, no, I'm slapping everybody. I'm coming out the grave. Ah! What are you doing? If I, I'd be doggone if I pay for it and you don't eat it. Y'all know what I'm saying? I'll pay for it and you misuse it. You'll never get it again. What is Jesus expecting of us? What does the Father expect of us? And I'm saying it a certain way. I'm saying expect of us. I'm not talking about your duties or what's your abilities. Your abilities ain't enough in the first place. Come on, listen, let's get over it. You ain't got enough ability. By yourself, you ain't got enough. We done been trying that already. Right? But God knows who he put inside you. So I'm only expecting to see them. This is the whole conversation. Verse 17, a rich young ruler, when the man come, when he was going forth to the way, there came one running. He running and kneeled to him. Sound like worship service. We run and kneel at the altar. And ask him, good master, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good. Y'all remember that? Yeah, sound like us, huh? You're a good, good father. That's who you are. Running and kneeled to him, and kneeled in a position of submission. He's got the outside posture, but the inside is not there. I see what I'm talking to y'all about is your inside right now. This ain't got nothing to do with this right here. This should come from the inside. You should be worshiping from the inside. Kneel, running, he ran, and he kneeled, and then he called him. He didn't say, hey, bruh. Oh, disrespectful. He said, good master. Then he started asking the good questions. What shall I do that I inherit eternal life? And I love Jesus. When I read Jesus, I love him because Jesus never really responds like I think he will respond. He didn't say, blessings, brother. Oh, look at you. You so faithful. Running over here. Look at the zeal. He told them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He was talking about their zeal because they do a lot on the outside, but the inside is far from him. Listen to what I'm saying. Run and kneel and say, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Sound like a good one, ain't it? Like a good prayer, a good request, ain't it? Yeah. And Jesus answered and said, why are you calling? Verse 18. Why are you calling me good? That don't seem like the right answer, y'all. But you got to catch what he's saying. It don't seem like the right answer, y'all. But you got to catch what Jesus is saying. The only way that you catch what Jesus is saying is when you become, they call it, a fluent in his language. Anybody know any foreign languages in here? Anybody? I was going to try to use somebody's example. Anybody learning foreign languages? Everybody English up in this thing, huh? All right. But any foreign language, Brother Ray, any foreign language that you know, you become a fluent in that language. So if somebody comes in speaking that language, I know what they're saying. Yeah. Now the reason, oh Lord Jesus, come on, help me, Holy Ghost. The reason that y'all need so much we need so much interpretation is because we don't know his language. Yes, sir. He's speaking from another place. He's speaking from another language and it's going over our head. So we got goo goo ga ga. Come here, little baby. I remember a friend of mine years ago corrected me when she had a child. She corrected me. She said, stop talking to my child like my child ain't a human. And I didn't get offended because I understood exactly what she was saying. Talk to him like we talk. Right? Because this is how they learned the language early. Don't be goo goo ga. When the last time you said goo goo ga ga? In your human adult life. When is the last time you say, come here, little baby? Look at you, you do cute. When's the last time? You ain't done it. I'm not saying don't show the children affection. But talk to them in the right language so they know the language. Come on, preachers, the priests rejected knowledge. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge because the priests rejected knowledge. They were not speaking the right language to them. So if I don't speak one with God language, you'll never know that you're. You just be, come here, little baby, and I'm going to take care of you. Y'all got to catch me. You just go back and listen to it. That's okay. The language. So I drown in the red words because that's his language. I start finding out how he thinks. So when I find out how he thinks, Taz, when I find out how he thinks, then when he does say something to me that seems to be out of the ordinary, I know that's how Jesus think. I used to ask my dad when I was young, well, how I know if it's a devil or God talking to me? It used to be a question. How I know if there's God speaking to me or just my mind? Majority of the time, when God speaks to you, it's going to be out your mind. Everything that's doable or normal, that's you. And that's okay. He don't mind. Grace is sufficient. Keep doing it until you got the faith to go another place. But his language is different. Why you call me good? Is Jesus good? Yes. What are you talking about right now then? Y'all don't think he don't know he good? No, he knew he good, huh? So what is he getting to right here? So you got to slow down. Everybody say slow down. She slow down. I got a class I teach in school called Living by the Book. And we slow down because what we have a tendency to do is speed through the scriptures. Yes, sir. And we speed through the word and then go pray for the thing that was in the word that was supposed to show you right then. Yeah. Are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
It's always been there. So what is he doing right now? Why God calls me good? And look how he says it. I want you to pay attention to how he says it. I want to pay attention. For years I skipped and I went too fast and I said it a certain way and I didn't catch what he was saying. He said, there is none good but one that is God. But I was always saying, there's none good and that's God. That ain't what Jesus said right there. He said, there is none good but. And there's a comma. Pause. And that is, pause. God. There ain't nothing good in you not being one. One thing is needful. Y'all remember that, huh?
Yes.
Why do I call me good? There's none good but one. Then he goes through the motion. I'm not going to read all this right now. He goes through the motion. Well, did you do all this? He got to talk to him because he didn't catch it. He didn't catch what he said. He didn't catch what Jesus said. He didn't catch what Jesus said. I'm going to catch y'all. He didn't catch what Jesus said. There's none good but one. He didn't catch it. He was telling him right then that just one. You want eternal life? Realize you're one with the Father. Eternal life is now. Where does eternity stop? Nowhere, huh? Where did it start? We don't know. But I know that if it's that big, then whatever right now is in the eternity. See, eternal life right now. Stop waiting until the by and by. I'm going to read John 14 in a minute. We always reading at the funeral. No, it's right now for live people. Eternity is now. Say it. Say it again. Eternity is now. One more time. Eternity is now. Now, sometimes the reason that we can't realize or believe that we're one with God and we have access to everything that God is and can say things like God is because we're living off of time and not eternity. See, time is limited. Right now, I got 11 minutes left. Tick, 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 tick. And time is, but eternal is always. If I live from an eternal mindset, then I can recognize my oneness with God. I'm not waiting till another moment to happen. Or till a spirit falls on me. Spirit has to fall on the old people. The spirit is within you now. The Old Testament need the Spirit to come upon them because they didn't recognize.
That's
So now you got to talk to him. And we have to stop God from having to go around the bend to explain to us what is so simple and perfect right at the point. Right? If our faith, have faith in God. Right? Come on, say have faith in God. See, if I have faith in God, then even when God says something that does not seem like the thing that I thought I wanted him to say to me, I still believe what he's saying, and I don't have to go around the block and him have to talk to me 20 more minutes. What could have been done in one? We only wait because we waiting. He waiting for us to catch up. Everybody say catch up.
Catch up.
Come on, say, no, I'm talking about catch up on your fries. Catch up. Everybody say catch up. So now I got to go through the norms. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. He answered and said, I done all them. I got them down. I finished ministry school, God dog it. I've been a member all these years. I went to the new member class and all that. From my youth, I was in the youth group. Verse 21, then Jesus beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, wait, I thought you had all that stuff already. I thought you had a whole bunch of stuff already. Jesus beholding him and said, how many things?
One.
How many things?
One.
No, a bunch of them. If Jesus said it, that's what it is. If Jesus said it, if Jesus said it, that's what it is. I want you to remember that because sometimes we've been getting a word from other people. We need to get a word from Jesus. Because if Jesus said it, one thing thou lackest. This is the second time we've seen this. He said, one thing you're lacking. Well, what's that one thing I'm lacking, Lord? He ain't telling him all that. He said, go, sell what you have. Give to the poor and thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and take up the cross and verse 22, and he was sad at that saying. I wish he preached something else to me this morning. I wish he'd tell me how the favor of God is upon me. I wish he'd preach another message because this right here, he was sad at that saying, went away grieved. Because he had a great prayer language. Oh, his worship was off the chain. I already know what I'm believing for. I don't know what he's talking about. Went away sad at that saying. And I ain't got time to go in. Jesus said, what's wrong with people? Do we not understand that I'm trying to give him access to everything? And he's trying to hold on to the things that he has? Deny yourself. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. I'm going to preach a message one day. I'm going to get the nerd to preach, but around it's going to be called absolutes. Because Jesus said some absolute things that we be kind of skirting over in the red words. Jesus ain't nobody forsaking houses and land, mothers and fathers, wives and children. Put them to the side for my sake in the gospel. He said, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. What are you talking about? Absolutes. But he who loses life going to find it. I mean, there's something that you hadn't found yet. He said, deny yourself. And then he said, take up the cross. Matthew 6:33, you can write those down. But in the whole chapter, Matthew 6, you just do yourself a favor. And I know we all, I'll tell y'all, we all over the place and all these other scriptures, whatever. Turn them songs off for a quick second. Your favorite worship song, stop for a second. Please. It'll mean more to you when you realize you won. No, all of it's going to mean more. God is trying to let these things blossom in your lives, but we holding on to them real tight. And calling it religion. When God is trying to birth some things from us easy. You know, Jesus wasn't lying when he said, my yoke is
easy.
But we think he lying. Because life be. Is it really? Is life really hard or is perspective? Is life really hard or are we living from the wrong place? Come unto me, are you a labor and heavy laden? Life hard. He said, I'm going to give you rest. So I need you to do this, though. I need you to do something.
Yes, sir.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Yes, sir.
But I can't learn of Jesus outside the red words.
Glory.
I can't. I'm trying to learn Christ. I got to die in them red words. I didn't say dive. I said die in the red words. Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, you'll find rest for you. Thirsty, you're going to give it to me. Say, no, you're going to find rest. Because my yoke is and my burden is. So every time something hard for you in life, something wrong with you. Something wrong with your perspective. He didn't say that you're not going to work, but it's going to be easy because of your meekness and your lowliness. Jesus is trying to show us our character, show us who we really are. Matthew 6, do yourself a favor and meditate that chapter, because he goes on to tell you how you do stuff in church. Stop trying to make it such a big deal about who you are. Right? And then he says this. Then he goes on to say all the things that's the most important to you. Take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. What? Well, that's my whole day. I'm working 40 hours a week for that. I went to college for that. To make sure I got something to eat and put on and wear and I get a nice house. Take no thought. What are you talking about, Jesus? Well, you won't know unless we die in the red words. Then he gets to a place and says, he said, I ain't got time. He said, take no thought, I'll take care of it. He said, verse 33, seek you first. First. What's associated with the first? Seek first the kingdom of God. And righteousness, and all these will be
added.
He's trying to make you, we're living backwards. Get in your car and drive to your house backwards today. How long that's going to take you? If you make it. Oh, y'all be like this and be like. I ain't that skilled. Just get on the interstate. Exactly. We've been living backwards. We've been trying to get to the one instead of living from the one. I don't have time. John 14. I'm gonna do some reading. Verse 20, I ain't got time to do it, but you read the context. He says, at that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I'm in you. Sound like one to me. Look at it. I'm in the Father, and you in me. Is that one? Come on, is that one? Now, you got to go take time and read this. Don't know to leave here and be like, oh, this is a good little message. I don't care about none of that. I don't need none of that. Don't tell nobody in my church preach a good message. I could care less. One is what I'm looking for. Are y'all understanding me?
Yes, sir.
John 15, verse 7. We know we love them. You abide in me. And my words abide in you. Sound like one to me? Sound like one? Let me go one more real quick. John chapter 17, flip over. You see, we in John, huh? John chapter 17, and I'm gonna skip verse 11. He says, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name, thy character, those whom thou hast given me. This is Jesus' prayer before he go to the cross. If it's his last prayers, if it's things that he really wants to happen, this them right there. He said, just I keep them. Let them be one as we are one. Verse 20. Go down. Jump down. Verse 20. Neither I pray I thee for these alone, but for them which also believe on me through thy word. Verse 21. That they all may be one. as thou art Father art in me and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You mean to tell me that the world will not believe that Jesus was sent to save them if we are not one? That they may all be one. As thou, Father, art in me, verse 21, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 23, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So we don't have to ask for the glory, because I already gave it to you. Look at it. The glory that you gave me, I gave them. Gave, past tense. You already got it. Say, I already got it. That they may be one, even as we are one. Amen. Stand to your feet.